You want to go ahead and find your place in the book of Daniel, chapter 2. Daniel, chapter 2. And Brother James, the Lord answered prayer today, didn't he? More ways than one. I went by there to see, speak with the Brother James and his class this morning. And we were just talking about the Lord answering prayer. And Brother James said, "And I'm praying for rain. I believe it's going to rain today." I don't know about the rest of y'all, but at 44 Lavender Road, we got a quite good rain. And thank God for that. And at least just to moisten things up a little bit anyway. Now, we sure could take some more, but we'll take what the Lord will give us. Amen. And be thankful for it. But hope everybody got a nap today in. I did get a battle nap in, all right? That battle nap is about 20 minutes. And I told my wife, I said, "Honey, I feel a whole lot better. Anybody get a battle nap in today? Just about 20 minutes. Brother Ricky, amen. Several others. That's wonderful. And then I got a good old stiff cup of Starbucks afterwards." I can hear some of you Pharisees, "Starbucks, you wicked sinner." But I like it, okay? It tastes good. And it helps me feel better. There's nothing wrong with it, okay? It's just good coffee every once in a while. And but thank God for that. Thank God for you. I just wanted to tell you that, church. I've had just, you folks are constantly just sharing gracious words with us, and we just really appreciate that. But I just want to return it with the sincerity of my heart, and just want to say that we appreciate you folks. And I love you dearly, church. I want you to know that. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for letting me come here and be your pastor. I really mean that. And I appreciate your patience already. I feel like I failed you already in some ways, but I appreciate your prayers and appreciate your patience and long-suffering with me. And I'm just thrilled. I'm just thrilled to be here. And Joanna says the same thing. I feel like it's just... I told a couple people this, and I really mean this. I feel like God has been preparing me my whole life for this time, and just preparing my family and what we have, and just looking forward to what God has in store. And we'll just keep encouraging each other, and we're in this together, amen? And we're ultimately, like I said this morning, we're in it together, but we're also in it together with God. And what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful privilege that is. Well, you'll find your place there in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 2. And we talked about this morning about the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, the image. And we talked about the dream was reviewed by Daniel. You talked about the dimension and talked about the dominance and eventually the deterioration. We talked about its destruction, that the stone made without hands, that would come and ultimately bring great destruction. And we spoke of the supernatural part of that, speaking of the Lord Jesus and His coming. And so we see the overview, but then we got into the dream revealed. And he talks about the earthly kingdoms starting off. And we see there in our, look over in verse 36, we'll just pick up there again. Verse 36, find my place here. Verse 36, it says here in the Word of God, "This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king." Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll talk about a few of these verses here. Father, I am grateful that I can be together with these brethren. Lord, You've given me just a true love for these folks, and I'm so thankful for them, every one of them, every single one of them, Lord. And I thank You, Lord, that I can minister alongside of them, and I'm thankful for this opportunity to be their pastor. And I pray You just help me, Lord, to be the man of God You want me to be, and help me to be able to deliver the Word according to Your will for Your glory. And I pray that You would meet needs even tonight. Lord, I just sense that You're just doing some real special things, and I'm so very grateful. And we just ask You to have control of every part of this message and work in hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. What we see here, the dream is going to be revealed. Now, Daniel's going to get more detailed about what this dream signifies. And we see that first of all in verse 37 where he begins saying, "Thou, O king," okay? He's going to say specifically to King Nebuchadnezzar, "For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom and power and strength and glory." And so he's going to deal first of all with the head of gold. That is the Babylonian Empire. That is who he is referring to first and foremost. Now Nebuchadnezzar would be the greatest of these four powers. He would be the greatest, and because he was great in power, he was great in wealth, he was great in splendor, and one of the things that he was great in that the others maybe weren't quite as great, and that is unity. There was a great unity among this kingdom that he was able, he was a great leader. Now, he was an evil leader, but he was one that was able to persuade and keep things orderly and together, and he had a unified kingdom in many ways. And I believe that is one of the characteristics why maybe it was greater than the others. But seeing that the last three kingdoms here we see it wasn't just because he was able to cover the map. It wasn't just the size of this kingdom that made it great, but again, it was the quality of government that he had and the unity, and simply that's what King Nebuchadnezzar could do. And then we see he introduces the next one too. He goes down there in verse 38, of course, he goes and talks about the head of gold, and then look at verse 39. "And after thee," speaking of King Nebuchadnezzar, "shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another after that, third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth." Now the one after King Nebuchadnezzar is going to be speaking of the Medes and Persians, the Persian Empire, if you will, and speaks of the breast and arms, and he's going to give more detail. And by the way, we'll see that much more in detail when we get to chapter 7, and even some in chapter 5. But again, he's just simply giving an overview, telling him who's going to follow up in these kingdoms. And then, of course, we see the third, which represents the belly and thighs, and that's of brass, and that's speaking of the Grecian Empire. You'll see more about that in chapter 7, verse 6. We'll talk more in detail about this empire. And then, look in verse 40 through 43. Then he says, "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken." Now, this legs of iron that we see, we're speaking of the Roman Empire. All right, and we're going to see what exactly he's talking about, but it's talking about the beginning part of the Roman rule here. Going into the feet and toes, and then it goes down into the with mingled with iron and clay, which, by the way, represents a growing weakness. That's very significant to realize about these kingdoms. They're going down and they're growing. They're going down in their value and their strength. And basically, it is a sign and true sign to us and true evidence that these kingdoms are growing weaker and weaker. And one day, by the way, Antichrist will try, he will seek to try, and he will succeed to a certain level, but he'll try to bring all the religions of the world together. He will be able to deceive many, and he will seek to bring them together, but ultimately, he will fail. Because look what the Word of God says. It says that there in verse 41 again, whereas they talked about it, "Whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of potters," he goes on to say, and then in verse 42, "And as the toes of the feet were a part of iron and a part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken." And then verse 44, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Now, we'll get to hear that in a second, but you see, he just gave an overview of the Gentile kingdoms. And the Word of God talks about they shall not cleave. They're not going to cleave. And listen, can I say this dogmatically that we all know, but something to be encouraged about and to be reminded of? If it's not of God, it's not going to cleave. It's not going to stick together. It's not going to have any adhesiveness. And because when I'm telling you what, when something's of God, it just sticks. And it's stronger. But we see that when we begin tampering with other things and trying to tamper in things of the world and away from God, it's a growing weakness. And so we see that he talks about and gives an overview of these Gentile empires. But look what he talks about. Then he talks about the earthly kingdoms, but then he goes into the heavenly kingdom. Again, verse 44, we'll go just read in verse 45. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. Again, underlining that in your Bible if you don't have it. Without hands. Speaks of the supernatural act of God upon this judgment that will come upon the Gentile nations. And it says, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. We see that he talks about this great coming of the Lord Jesus. Hold your place there. And go over with me to Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Hold your place in Daniel and go over to Revelation chapter 19. And verse 11, I'll begin reading. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 says, And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Verse 12, His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Boy, do you see the coming of the Lord Jesus here? Do you see what he's going to be coming to do one day when he stands against these Gentile nations? We see what's going to happen. And then verse 16, And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings. Wow. You see that, don't you? You see what's going to be the result of those that stand against God. They're going to just be eaten by the birds. They're going to be bird food. And it says here, in verse 18, that as they take them both small and great, the Word of God says, And I saw the beast in verse 19, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. Hey, I want to tell you something. This thing's going to come to an end. This Gentile nation that's rebelled against God, the Lord Jesus is going to come back with His children. He's going to come back, and He's going to come back with vengeance. He's going to come back with fierceness. And none of this foolishness is going to be tolerated anymore. None of this blaspheme against God Almighty, the Creator God. Men, humankind, will be held accountable. We see that Jesus Christ will come back from the Word of God and set up His millennial rule. He will destroy the last Roman king of this empire in a moment of time. And we'll read more about this as we get into it deeper, but we'll see us do a little bit of a side study in Zechariah and in chapter 14 and see this also. But more, I want to tell you something. When Christ comes, He will come with great vengeance. We see that in verse 44 back in Daniel. Back in Daniel, it said again, the Word of God says, "But it shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Christ will reign forever. And by the way, Christ will be the greatest king. Christ will be the greatest king. And so now, after this interpretation has come, let's go and look at the dream regarded. King Nebuchadnezzar is going to respond to this dream. So let's look at the dream regarded there in verse 46. The Word of God says, "Then the king, Nebuchadnezzar, fell upon his face," and get this, "and worshiped Daniel." Imagine that. Imagine that. That'd be almost like Hitler experiencing in some way, somehow, during that atrocious time, experiencing the power of God in some way, and that man falling on his face. I mean, that's the equivalent here of this time, of this era. The Babylonian king, King Nebuchadnezzar, fell on his face before Daniel. By the way, Hitler will bow down before the Lord Jesus one day. He certainly will. He will one day. And he will bow, and he knows the truth now, but it's too late. And the truth is, this king bowed down, and I want us to see, number one, he revered Daniel. He reverenced him. Look there in verse 46. It says, "He fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel and commanded," again, "that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him." You see what he's saying? He's doing here? He's like, "Hey guys, it's worship time. Let's set up an altar. Let's offer sacrifices to Daniel." And God was beginning to get this king's attention, but not quite enough, because notice what the terminology he used. He says in verse 47, "The king answered unto Daniel and said, Of a truth, it is that," what, church? Your God. Not my God. He said, "It is a truth that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings, and thou a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret." Listen, Daniel was an instrument that God used to glorify His name. So get this, church, in essence, and it's the same for us, church. Young people, please don't forget this. All of us need to remember this. Daniel was the closest thing to the true God that Nebuchadnezzar had ever seen. And so the only thing that he knew to do was to bow down before Daniel. And I want to tell you something, church, that's the same truth with you and me. There are some people in our community, the truth is, I hope they do, but the truth is, someone will never darken the door of this church or any other church. The closest thing they will see of the true, wise God is the testimony of Jesus Christ shining through you. In fact, you've heard the comment said, to some people, you will be the only Bible they see. In essence, the truth of what the Word of God does in a person's life. And I believe that's what we see going here. Evidently, it is so clear that his heart had been moved, but then it was not his God. It was Daniel, your God. You know, something that I believe can be true, even in our lives, even in our churches, and this is something that is so important that I don't know why God keeps bringing this back up through my messages, but He does. I didn't plan this, but another reality is, church, is the very fact of this, and we need to pray that no one will fear being looked down upon. We need to pray and act as if, no one's going to be scared to do this or ashamed to do this, but I'm afraid there are a lot of people in our churches that see like Nebuchadnezzar sees. Yeah, they believe that there is a God. They believe that even perhaps the God of the Bible, like they believe Daniel, they know these facts and things, but there's been no true transformation in their heart. A Holy Ghost conversion. And it's true, it's scary how someone can be so close to the truth, but yet reject it because they never make it personal. They never humble themselves before the true and wise God. You see, Nebuchadnezzar, in this passage we see, recognized the truth of God. Because he says, look in verse 47, of the king answered in Daniel and said, of a truth it is. But oh God, help us. I can't wait to hear the testimony of the brother that was here this morning, the solicitor there, Brother Moore. Man, I'm telling you what, has anybody ever heard his testimony? Anybody here? A couple of you, Brother James. Listen, folks, that guy was a Sunday school teacher for over 20 years. He was the super Sunday school superintendent. And God convicted him and showed him that he had seen the truth, he had heard the truth, but that truth had never gotten to his heart. And he had never received it by faith and made it personal. It just wasn't my family's God. It just wasn't my church's God. It was my God. And I hope that we can all say in here tonight when we worship, Lord, You are my God. Nebuchadnezzar had not come to that point. But God's working. And I believe God's working in our church. And I hope if you're under the sound of my voice tonight, I beg you, dear friend, don't one time think that you would be embarrassed, that you would need to be ashamed. No siree. I can't wait till Anna testifies tonight and see how God's worked in her heart. And I thank God for what He's doing. And He'll do the same for you. Listen, I want you to know your best friends are in this church tonight. We're with you. We're never going to look down on you. Whatever decisions are made, we will come alongside you and rejoice with you, friend, and support you no matter what you've done or no matter what you've convinced others of. The most important thing is what will happen in eternity. And that's getting that settled. So I just thought I would say that. But the truth of the matter is we see a king here that's recognizing truth but not quite receiving it. But also I'd like to see as he revered Daniel here and getting back to the point of him coming to Daniel, because really it was the God of Daniel that he was coming to. But look how Daniel sort of deters the worship. It says here in verse 47, the king answered to Daniel, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Verse 48, then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief of the governors shall all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So we see here that yes, the dream was regarded, but then we see because of the dream, Daniel was rewarded. Daniel was rewarded. And we see he was made a great man and he was given great gifts and he was given great authority. Because it all goes back to what, church? He had made a decision a long time ago that he would simply honor the Lord. He made a decision a long time ago that he would honor the Lord God, and he would not defile himself, and he was not going to partake, even though he was in a place of great pressure, of great influence. He made a decision that he would honor the God of Israel, the Creator God. He made him governor. He was over the wise men, so we see how God honored him for that. Can you hold your place there? And we'll close with this verse. I want us to go over and look at 1 Peter chapter 2. I believe Daniel fulfilled this verse before it was ever written. A perfect example in the Old Testament. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Verse 17, I want to read. Very short verse, but boy, how powerful. Okay, before I read it, can I say this, church? The context is here is, again, same sort of situation. In an ungodly environment, severe persecution upon the church. Peter's writing and talking about the suffering that is going on. He's trying to encourage them. Hey, keep looking up. Stand strong, endure the persecution. Jesus Christ is being honored. You are enduring the affliction of your Savior. You're doing it for His glory. That's the theme, okay? But listen to what he says, and this is a balance for all of us. And I think Daniel fulfilled this even before it was written. Look at chapter 2, verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Simple. Honor all men. One. Love the brotherhood, 2. Fear God, 3. Honor the king, 4. Did not Daniel fulfill that perfectly, folks? He, by going into this kingdom, yes, he did not agree with Nebuchadnezzar and everything, but I believe at the same time he honored that king. He had respect unto that king to follow through with mostly everything, with his job responsibilities. Of course, you're not going to put somebody governor of your province if they're not going to organize and administrate the things that he needed to do rightly. He did that. He honored the king. But there were some places that he drew the line. And what an example for us that we can honor all men. Hey, listen, can I say this? The Bible says all men. This was a conviction to me. Sometimes, especially as independent Baptists, we pick and choose who we want to honor. Uh-oh. It's going to get quiet, isn't it? We do, though, don't we? What does the Bible say? Those that agree with you? Mm-mm. The Bible says honor all men. Doesn't mean we have to agree with them. And doesn't mean that we can't continue standing on truth, but the idea is in the Word of God, and even these Christians who are losing their lives and losing their families, Peter says, by the power of the Holy Ghost, you honor all men. Have a certain amount of respect, and God will bless that, because what does it go on to say? It says, then love the brotherhood, love the brethren. Now, of course, then I'm sure you have maybe different sects, but it didn't say love the Baptists or love the Methodists. It doesn't say that. That's not the Word of God. The Bible says love the brethren. And that's another thing that we pick and choose on. Yeah, I'll love those that agree with me. Yeah, I'll love that denomination that comes alongside me. But I want to tell you something. The Bible says love the brotherhood. That is all those that are in Christ. And I believe God's power will fall fresh on people that have a true love for all the brotherhood. I'm not saying that we link arms with folks that we disagree with on some things that are really important, but that doesn't mean we can't love them. And that doesn't mean we can't respect them. And that doesn't mean we can't pray for them. And that doesn't mean that we can't encourage them. I want to tell you something. If somebody's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, they may not agree with everything I do, but church, I'm thankful. We ought to be thankful. We can't reach everybody. Somebody may not agree with me, but I believe Daniel had that type of spirit. I believe he just said, listen, there are some lines I will not cross because I have an obligation to honor and fear my God, but I will do my best to honor men and love the brotherhood and love my brethren. And we see that too, didn't we? Praise God, I appreciate Daniel. He got all that blessing from the king. He said, hold on, let me get my boys too. I need you to give my boys a job. Aren't you glad he did that? That's a good friend. You get a good job, and man, you say, now listen, you know, I know you say give me a job, but listen, I got a few of my friends, they really need a job too. Neighbor said, bring them on. They love the brotherhood, and I wonder how our hearts are tonight towards some brethren that may not agree exactly like we do. Do you have animosity towards them? Are you so filled with pride that you look down on them? Or do you truly love them as the Word of God says? But then we see in verse 17, love the brotherhood, fear God. And listen, that is not a being scared and trembling of God. That is a reverence for how awesome God is. It is being in awe of a holy and righteous God in heaven who would scoop down to our level to come and be like us so that Lord Jesus was made in the likeness of men. Being found fashioned as a servant, He became obedient even unto death. And He did that for us. That's a fear and awe of Almighty God, what He did. And then, of course, that fourth one there in verse 17, honor the King. And I believe that Daniel did exactly that. He honored the King. King Nebuchadnezzar, although he didn't agree with it. I'm sure just some things that Daniel probably witnessed. And that reminds me of our responsibility to honor the King. Listen, I don't know what the future holds for America. Who's going to be the next president? I'm really hoping Jesus comes before the election. Amen? But whoever it is, I want to tell you, we have a God-given responsibility to honor the King, that person in authority of our country, to pray for them, to love them. Doesn't mean we have to agree with them. But there has to be that element, and I believe that gives a Christian the balance they need to be the most effective in an ungodly world. And I believe that's the balance that Crooked Creek Baptist Church needs to be most effective in this ungodly society. That's how people will be drawn to us, that balance right there that Daniel had. That's how people's lives will be transformed because of the balance right there. And may God help us to have that balance that we see. And I guarantee you this, people will be drawn by the Holy Spirit through that. Look what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was just falling down before Daniel. That's the only thing he needed to do. He knew it was the hand of God, and he knew God was doing something. And the only thing he did was to bow down before Daniel. It's happened even here and today. I've heard of people getting led to the Lord, and they come to that person almost worshiping them. And I've heard this terminology, never to me, but I've heard it being said to a person that was led to Christ by another believer, saying this, "Thank you for saving me." They didn't know the right terminology, but you know the truth is, it was Jesus Christ. And that's what that person would do, that's filled with the Spirit. Listen, I know what you mean. I just told you about the Savior, but it's Jesus who saves. Let Him be worshipped. And I believe Peter did the same thing when he was led to Cornelius. He was led to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 25 says, "And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him." Was worshipping Peter. It's the only thing he knew to do. That's what he thought was going to save him. And that's what who had saved him. But Peter, verse 26, took him up saying, "Stand up, I myself am a man." And that's what I hope and pray will come from our lips when we're out encouraging people. People are coming here. I hope we'll come alongside, "Look, we're just like you. We've just come in contact with the grace of God. God has transformed us, and He's transforming us. And He'll do the same for you." We see Daniel was rewarded, but it was only and only because he honored the God of heaven. Let's pray. Father, we do come before You humbly. Asking You, Father, to help us to have the spirit and the balance that Daniel had. It's hard for us, Lord, in many ways. We get caught up so up in our own little ways that we lose sight of the balance that we saw in 1 Peter 2:17. And we lose sight of the impact and influence that men like Daniel had, who did truly take a stand on truth. But at the same time, they honored the king. God, help us to learn that balance. I know I need to learn it, Lord. I need to grow in it. And Lord, we thank You for what You're doing through the study of Daniel. Transform us by Your Word, Lord. We need it, Lord. We just want to be open, God, to You conforming us to Your precious holy will. We don't want to be bound by men. We want to be bound by God. Bound by Your Spirit. Bound by Your Word. And just be obedient to Thee. Lord, I thank You for what You'll do now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.